All right, so we are holding on page 32 in Yoma, Ois Lamed Vav. We were talking about Tzaddikim versus Rishoyim. The Mishnah mentioned various people who did good things for the Jewish people, for the Bais Mikdash, and we said on them, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, and on the other hand, there were people who were selfish and didn't share the knowledge that they were supposed to, and we said on them, Rishay, Rishay, and Yuka. We said maybe some of them, the Gemara said afterwards, we can exonerate some of them because they did have a good reason behind it, but still. So continuing on this topic of Tzaddikim and Rishoyim, and in particular doubting that pasuk, Zeicher Tzaddik Livracha, V'shem Rishoyim Yirka, that the Mishnah had brought, so Omer Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar says, here's another point that we get from that pasuk. Tzaddik me'atzmai, a tzaddik is on his own, v'rosha me'chaveri, and a rosha is from another rosha. Now there are many different explanations what that means. Rashi says that it means that tzaddik alone, you think of him, then automatically you think of his good maisim and you remember him for good. The Rosha, it doesn't even have to be that you think of him himself, just you think of another Rosha like him, and that evokes the memory of him, and therefore, and people speak in a derogatory way about him. That's one point. Marsha says another point is that by a tzaddik we find that you can have a tzaddik who becomes a tzaddik all by himself without any other support. We find by Avraham Avinu, Hashem says to him, his halich lefona, you, unlike Noach, where we have Esther the king, his halich Noach, where so to speak, he had to walk with Hashem supporting him. Avraham was able to do it all on his own. So you can have a tzaddik like that, as opposed to a rosha. Sometimes you can have just by a person joining up with another with a rosha, or the rosha, or the shchena. So that's another meaning of the rosha mechaveri. He may become a rosha not even on his own, just by associating with another rosha.
Person who still works so hard, he turned himself into a tzaddik. Is that what?
So, for example, yeah, we find by Avraham Avinu, you know, where he worked hard and made him, then became a tzaddik. And the point is that Hashem can say to him, "His halach lefonai, walk in front of me." In other words, like so to speak, I don't need to support you anymore. You're able to do it all under your own strength.
Everybody has the possibility of going to the tzaddik.
Right? Yeah. So then, that's the point. Right. So that's the point. In other words, yeah. So not everybody lives up to it. We find even Noach didn't, but yeah. So that's another meaning of tzaddik me'atzmei v'rosha mechaveh, right? Then there are other points. Ion Yaakov says that it means that you can have a tzaddik who he may be, also talking about Noach, he may be like a tzaddik in pelts. He doesn't help other people to become tzaddikim as well. Nevertheless, zichrei l'vracha. Nevertheless, we remember him for good as Noach, for example. But by Rishoyim, when do we say v'shem Rishoyim Yirkav? Only if he causes other people to be Rishoyim as well. So therefore, Barosha Mechaveri, only if he makes it, that a fellow person as well becomes a Rosha, then we stand him the shame of showing Yirkav, because then he's much less likely to do tshuva. Yirkav literally means rot. The rot, we said yesterday, that Rashi translates it as more like become rusty. So yeah. So that's another meaning. Yeah, yeah. And then Ben Yehoyada says another point, and it also, he says that the Gemara tells us in Chagiga that every person has a by the way, Eitz Yosef mentions before that, Eitz Yosef over here mentions a variation on Ion Yaakov's point. Suppose you have, there was a person who was a tzaddik, and he didn't help other people to become tzaddikim, and he himself eventually becomes ois tzaddik, like for example, like we have with Yochanan Kohen Gadol, where after 80 years he became a tzaddiki, he's not going to remember the bracha anymore. But on the other hand, the rosha, even if he abandons his rishus, if he caused somebody else to become a rosha, then he's still going to be remembered in a derogatory way for that. As we find, for example, with Menashe Melech Yehuda, he himself did tshuva, but he wasn't able to eradicate the Avodah Zarah that he had brought into Eretz Yisrael and the mentality of it, and eventually the Pasuk blames him for the Churban. So that would be an example of this. Anyway,
he has to tell other people. He has to work on
whatever people that he influenced in a bad way. Now he has to work on influencing them for the good, yeah. And then Ben Yehoyada says another point also. The Gemara tells us in Chagiga that every person has, to begin with, a portion in Gan Eden and a portion in Gehenna. Now what happens? A person lives as a tzaddik, he doesn't need his portion in Gehenna. It's taken and given to a different Rasha. So a Rasha ends up with a, so some Rasha out there ends up with a double portion of Gehenna. On the other hand, what happens to the Rosh? He's lost his place in Olam Haba. He's lost his place in Gan Eden. So that double portion goes to the tzaddik. So Ben Yehoyada says the word, tzaddik me'atzmi. The tzaddik is not going to be selfish and keep that extra portion for himself. He's going to give it to somebody else. As opposed to the Rosh me'chaveiroi, the Rosh is going to wind up having the portion that should have belonged to somebody else. Okay, anyway, tzaddik me'atzmi, dichtiv zecher tzaddik livracha, where you have the word tzaddik is in the singular. Rosh mechaber, dichtiv v'shem rishoyim yirkav, you have the rishoyim is mentioned in the plural, so we see that there's something about rishoyim that requires a plural, which is not the case with a tzaddik. You know, maybe also we can understand it based on, you have the vort in Hayom Yom that says that when you have two Jews get together, then you have two nefesh of the kisses against one nefesh of Bahamas, and therefore the nefesh of the kiss is much stronger and more likely to win. So if you have, nonetheless, people, you have Rosh and Mechaveri, two people gather together, and they don't make their nefesh of the kiss overpower their respective nefesh of Bahamas, then they're all the more to the blame for it, because they had more of an opportunity to get together and help them and make their nefesh of the kiss overpower their nefesh of Bahamas and did not.
That's a
yom-yom. That's a yom-yom, right. So that's the point. In other words, that may also be a meaning of tzaddik me'atzmei and rosh me'chaveroi, maybe, that in other words, that when it comes to a tzaddik, he by himself, there's a lot that he can accomplish, but rosh me'chaveroi, if you have some two people together, get together and become rishoyim, then that's even worse, because then they have the opportunity to do different. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Hamnuna la'ahu mirabbanan." So Rav Hamnuna one time says to one of the chachamim to have a misader agadte kame kame. This Talmud Chacham would regularly arrange a gadte in front of him. So Rav Hamnuna is the Rosh Yeshiva, in other words. This Talmud Chacham in the yeshiva over there would be bringing pieces of a gadte, and then they would discuss them in the Beis Medrash. So he asks this ahu mirabbanan. Menoha milsa de amar rabbanan zeichat tzaddik livrach. Where do the chachamim get this phrase from? This idea of zeichat tzaddik livrach. Amalei. So the guy says, what do you mean? Haksiv zeichat tzaddik livrach. It's right there. Pasuk in Mishlei. So Rav Hamnuna asks, okay, but midar raisim and alon. Fine, but where do we have a remez for it in the Torah, in Chumash? We know Tosfos Hashanim points out lekam midi de lo remizi bar raisa. Everything that's even in Nevi'im and Ksuvim, there has to be a remez for it someplace in Chamisha Chumshe Torah. So where is there the remez for that? So he answers him, Dichtiv, because we find by Avram Avinu, Vashem Omer Hamchasa Anime Avram Begoyim, Hashem says, when he's planning to destroy Sodom, can I conceal that from Avraham? Dichtiv, and the next passage continues, Avram Hoyoyi Begoyim, that Avraham is going to become a great nation because he does Tzedako Mishpat. Meaning, in other words, so this Ahu Merabbanan is explaining to Rav Hamnuna, the point is that the Pasuk is hinting at the point, and Rashi mentions it on the Pasuk based on this Gemara, having mentioned Avraham, immediately Hashem has to give him a bracha. This is Zeichot Tzadik. You're mentioning the Tzadik, even not for himself, really. You're mentioning him in connection with Tzadim. Nevertheless, right away, you have to say a bracha on him, and therefore Hashem continues with heaping praises on Avraham and the Pesukim over there.
Just his name alone is valuable enough to...
No, the point is that just the mention of his name is enough to trigger that kind of thing, yeah. Then Rav Hamnuna asks, "Menoha milsa de amar rabbanan b'shem rishoyim yirkav?" Where do the chachamim get the expression that the name of the rishoyim should rot? And again, "Amalei haksiv b'shem rishoyim yirkav." It's the end of the same pasuk in Mishlei. So he asks him again, "Midaraisim and nolan?" Fine, but where do we get it from in Chumash? And he says, "Dichtiv," because you find by Loit, by Yehalad Sdoim, the pasuk says after Loit separated from Avraham, after the argument over there, he went and he pitched his tents as far as Sdoim. Uchtiv, and the very next pasuk, Ma'anshe Sdoim, Roim v'chatoim v'gamer. Again, having mentioned Sdoim, immediately the pasuk puts in a parenthetical note. You should know that people of Sdoim were wicked. So we see, in other words, just the mention of their name triggers that kind of mention of their rishus. So this is an example of Rishayim Yirkav. So the Pasuk in Chumash is hinting at that idea that Shlomo HaMelech later wrote out as the Pasuk Zeichat Tzaddik Livracha, etc. Marshor explains that Rav Hamnuna's question was like this. He's not asking where is the source of the words Zeichat Tzaddik Livracha and Rishayim Yirkav. Sure, he knew it's a Pasuk in Mishlei. His question was, now the Rambam, in Pirush HaMishnayos on Ovis, now you know you have the part over there in Perek Aleph where it says Loi Matzotzi LeGuf Toiv Mishsika and Kol HaMarbe Dvorim Nevi Chet. So the Rambam distinguishes over there between different kinds of speech. You have speech which is a mitzvah, and then you have the opposite of that is speech that's an out and out and out and out aveira. Then you have speech that's not recommended. And then you have speech which is allowed but not necessarily necessary. And then you have speech that he says is praiseworthy. an example of that kind, mitzvah, that it's praiseworthy. It's not a mitzvah per se, but it is a good thing to do, is, for example, talking about the great and the good things that tzaddikim do, and vice versa, talking about the bad things that rishayim do, so that other people take a lesson from that and realize that they should follow in the ways of the tzaddikim and not follow in the ways of the rishayim. So this is when the pasuk says, Zecho tzaddik livracha, v'shem rishayim yirkav. That's exactly it. We're not saying don't curse the rishayim. It doesn't say v'shem rishayim l'tlala, which would be the opposite of Zecho tzaddik livracha. It's saying shem rishayim yirkav. In other words, really, what we want is the rishus should rot away, and they should no longer be rishoyim. So like you have the famous story with Reb Meir, where he wanted the biryonim in his town to die, and Beruria tells him instead daven that they should do tshuva, and they did. So therefore, Marisha says, so this is the point that we're that this Hahu Me Rabbanan is pointing out from these psukim. Once you mention Abraham, then immediately it's a good thing when he's asking Minoham Milsa to Amar Abanan. He doesn't mean where is the source of the pasuk Shezecha Tzadik Debracha. Where do we see the concept that this is an important thing to do? That this is an example of what the Rambam calls praiseworthy speech. And the answer is that we see that the Torah does that in connection with Abraham, and vice versa. We see with Sdoim, where do we see that it's praiseworthy as soon as you mention a Rosha to criticize him and talk in a way that people should realize don't follow in his ways? We see from the example of what it says about Sdoim. Ben Yehoyada actually has a different take on it. He says that to begin with, when Rav Hamnuna asked Menoham Milsa, so this is how Humer Abanan thought. He's literally asking for where the pasuk is, so he tells him. Then when Rav Hamnuna asks again, then Nahum Arabonin realizes, not just asking where the pasuk is, otherwise there'd be no reason to ask the same kind of thing again, and then to give the same answer. Rather, he's explaining, so Ben Yehoyada says, in other words, he's asking Rav Hamnuna, why are you attributing it to Rabbanan, Menoham Milsa Da'amur Rabbanan, when it's a pasuk in the first place? So then when Rav Hamnuna asks the same question again, then Nahum Arabonin realizes, oh, he's not asking where it says in the pasuk. I misunderstood him. I thought he was just asking where it says. Now I realize he's asking, similar to what Maharsha says, not where is the pasuk, but where do the Chachamim get the explanation for us that this is the right thing to do? Okay. More on this topic of tzaddikim and rishoyim. Omer of Elazar, tzaddik dor ben shnei rishoyim. You have an example in history of a tzaddik who lived among two rishoyim, v'loy lomad mimayaseim, and he didn't learn from their bad ways. And on the other hand, rosha dor ben shnei tzaddikim, then the flip side, you have a rosha who lived together with two tzaddikim, v'loy lomad mimayaseim, and he didn't learn from their ways to become better. So this is a Maharsha explains, this is connected with the previous piece. We said, Zecho tzaddik livracha and shem rishoyim yirkav. So you have the one tzaddik living all alone in a hostile environment versus you have the rishoyim who make up that hostile environment, and still he didn't learn from them and so forth. What is the example? Tzaddik dorm and shnei rishoyim b'loy lomim ma'aseim Avadia. You have Avadia, was the chief of staff. He's the apostle calls him Asher al Aboyus, which means that he's in charge of everything in the palace of Achav. So you have Achav and Izevel, who are both rishoyim, and Avadia was living with them with them in the palace and always around them, and he didn't learn from their ways. Rosha dorm and shnei tzaddikim b'loy lomim ma'aseim. The example of that is Esav, where Esav had over there, you had Yitzchak and Rivka, and originally you had Yaakov as well, but even afterwards you have Yitzchak and Rivka, and yet he never learned from them to improve his ways. So in fact, this is Taka, one of the reasons the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin, why is it, you know, we have the Nevuah of Avadia, which is the Haftorah of next Shabbos, is a very short one. It's one perek, 21 psukim, and the whole thing is a Nevuah against Edom. Why Davka is Avadia chosen to give that Nevuah about Edom's destruction? So one reason is, the Gemara says, based on this point over here, that Avadia is very appropriate that he should come and then prophesy the destruction of Edom, because he's the polar opposite of Esav, because he was among the Rishoyim and didn't learn from them, and Esav is exactly the opposite. The other reason the Gemara gives over there is Avadia himself was descended from Edom, he was a ger from Edom, and therefore, as the Gemara says, from the forest itself comes the handle of the axe that chops it down, the same way like he, from that very nation himself, is the one that predicts their destruction.
Rachel is the female version of this, and the rose among the thorns, right?
There's not Rachel, but Rivka. Yeah. I mean, Rachel and the layer to a certain extent also, but Rivka more so, yeah. Okay. The Amr of Elazar. Rav Elazar says here's another thing about tzaddikim and rishoyim. Mi birchosem shal tzaddikim at the lomit klolosh of rishoyim. From the bracha of the tzaddikim, you can learn the curse of the rishoyim. Meaning, in other words, it actually says, in the same place where Hashem blesses the tzaddikim, we also find that Hashem at the same time curses the Rishoyim. You have the pasuk that we quoted before about Avraham, where Hashem says, how can I destroy Sodom without telling Avraham? And he says, Hashem says, I know him and I appreciate him, because he commands his children and his descendants to do tzedakah or mishpat. And right after that, and Hashem says, by contrast, by Yom Hashem, Zaka Sodom v'Amora, the cries of Sodom and Amora are so great that I have to punish them. So we see at the same time, and in the same breath, so to speak, that Hashem is praising the Tzaddik Abraham, in the same breath he's cursing Sodom and saying they need to be punished. And vice versa, from the curse of the Rishoyim, you learn, meaning at the same time, you have the bracha of the tzaddikim, dichtiv, because you have the pasuk we quoted before, v'anshei Sodom roim v'chatoim v'gomer, the people of Sodom were very wicked and sinful, and right after that, v'Hashem ala omer ala avraham, achrei parted loid me'imoy v'gomer, right away after that, it says that Hashem spoke to Avraham and told him that that look in all directions and all the land that you see your children are going to inherit. So we see, as soon as there's a klala for the Rishoyim, right away, in the same breath, there's a bracha for the tzaddikim. Now that's how Rashi explains it. Maharsha doesn't like that explanation because your lomid suggests that you're learning one from the other, not just that they're one next to the other. So Maharsha says, no, rather what it is you can derive based on this. It's called Yumat Sosu Minam Furnish. Once you have a particular detail that's stated, you can learn from it another detail that's not stated. Meaning, when it comes, why did Hashem bench Avraham? So Hashem, the pasuk says, because of Avraham, ki yadativ l'man hashem tzadah, the pasuk the Gemara is quoting, that Hashem says, I know and I appreciate him because he teaches his children and his household to do tzedakah mishpat. So now we learn from that, when Hashem says the cries of Sodom v'Amora become intolerable, cries about what? Now we understand, because they're doing the exact opposite of Avraham, they're doing the opposite of tzedakah mishpat. So in other words, without that, we might not know what Sodom had done wrong. Later on, you have the Novi Yechezkel mentions it more clearly, but from Chumash, we wouldn't necessarily know. So therefore, comes the juxtaposition of the Pesukim over here and teaches us that the point was that the people of Sodom were the polar opposite of Avraham, and that's why they deserved their punishment.
Like a little honey on that girl up on the roof.
Yeah, that's an example of it, yeah. Then you have vice versa. Then you have when it mentions the people of Sodom, Royim b'chatoim l'Hashem ma'od, which the Gemara in Sanhedrin explains means they were Royim, it means they were bad and they were goofing and they were mumming. So now when it says afterwards that Hashem is blessing Avraham and telling him that all this land that you see you're going to possess means exactly that we learn exactly the opposite. The bad midas that they had, that they were Royim b'chatoim, is exactly the opposite of Avraham. And therefore, that's why Hashem is giving him that bracha. So it's literally, Maharsha says, lomid, you're literally learning one from the other, because you have a detail that it mentions by one, that then you derive that the opposite applies to the other. Continues the Gemara, v'omer Rav Elazar, afilo b'shvil tzadik echad olam nivra. The world would have been created even just for the sake of one single tzadik. Dichtiv v'yara v'kim asa'or ki toiv. The pasuk says, Hashem saw the light that it's good. The ain't toiv el tzadik. The word toiv refers to a tzadik. Shenema, as the pasuk says, imru tzadik ki toiv, say about the tzadik that he is good. So in other words, like this, the whole world. So what? Vayara the king of Sa'ur ki toiv, and Hashem decided to keep. Why should he keep the ur? Why should he keep the light? Because ki toiv, because there's a tzadik.
The tzaddik is the ur himself.
The tzaddik is the toiv for whom it's worth it to have the ur and the whole rest of the created world. That's how Rashi explains it. Maharsha says, when you think about it, every other day when it says vayara lekim ki toiv, it doesn't say specifically what Hashem saw was toiv. By yom sheni, fine, it doesn't say it at all. By yom shlishi, you have twice vayara lekim ki toiv. It doesn't say vayara lekim as a mayim or whatever ki toiv, or as a orex or as a whatever, as a eitzim, whatever ki toiv. And the same thing by each of the other days. Only on the first day does it say vayara lekim as a ur ki toiv. So therefore, it means that we're talking about specifically that the light of the world should continue to exist for the sake of the tzaddik that's good. And the point is also because again, the purpose of the world is eventually to bring to the Ur HaGonuz, the hidden light of all the course that's going to be given to the tzaddikim. So therefore Hashem is saying that Ur, it's worth it to have that, to have the whole thousands of years of human history leading up to that just for the sake of the tzaddik. So, yeah. If a person forgets, meaning he makes himself forget, or he doesn't, whether he gives up on it, whether he's lazy, whatever it is, and he forgets one thing of his learning, gorem golus levonav, he causes golus for his descendants. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Vatishkach Torah salekecha." The Navi says, "You've forgotten the Torah of Hashem." Eshkach banecha gam oni. Therefore, Hashem says, "I am going to forget your children," meaning they're going to go off into golus, where, so to speak, they're going to be as though they were forgotten. Now, Marsha points out, you know, you have the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, if a person forgets Dover Achon Mishnah, then he's Mishai B'Nafsha. Hashem considers it that he's responsible for any, if he dies, then he's responsible for his own death. The difference is, Marashah says, Mishnosei means things that he learned from his Rebbe. So therefore, that's a very serious punishment. He's Mishai B'Nafsha. Here we're talking about Mitalmudai, meaning of his analysis. We know the difference between Mishnah and Talmud is Mishnah is the basic fact, the basic halachas, and Talmud is the analysis of it. To put it in contemporary terms, for example, Mishnah would be basic Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and Talmud would be, for example, the Noisei Kalim that go and discuss all the ins and outs of the halachas and when it applies and where we get it from and so on, and how to apply it in similar situations and so forth. So the punishment for that is not as severe, but it's still golus levonav, because the point is, how is that mida kenegan mida? We know in order for a person to be able to learn and analyze in depth the Torah, he needs to have a clear mind. If he's busy, if he's harassed and in golus or whatever, he's not going to be able to. So now he failed to do that, and therefore Hashem is going to cause that there's going to be golus. Rav Abahu says another point is he's going to be removed, he's going to be lowered from his high position. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, the beginning of that same pasuk in Hosea, Nidmu ami mibli hadas, my people have been silent because they lack das. Ki ata hadas moasta, you, the Navi, is saying to the Jewish people, have rejected das. V'em oscha mikahen li, so I have rejected you from being a koyin to me. Where koyin doesn't mean a koyin who serves in the besmikdash, it means any high position. We find, for example, where it says on David's children, of ne David koyinim hayu, doesn't mean they were koyinim in the besmikdash. So from Shevet Yehuda means they were high ministers in the government. So they, of course, we see from that passage that a person, so he's meridinois in gdulase. The point being, and Yaakov says, because where does a person get greatness from is from Torah. So if he's forgetting, if he's allowing himself to forget the Torah because he's not taking the time to review it or whatever, then he loses that gdula. Ben Yehoyada points out a cute remez, and he says the word gdula has a dalet in it. The Dalad represents the four aspects of Torah. Pshat to them is Jerush and Soid. So if a person is allowing himself to forget the Torah and ignore that Dalad, you take out the Dalad from the word Gdula and you're left with the word Gola, which is why we said that Gorim Golos Levanov. Getting now back to topics involving tzaddikim. This was a little bit of a digression because we had been quoting a bunch of statements from Rav Elazar and Agadta, so now we had this last one. But now getting back to tzaddikim, Amar Rav Chiya ba'Aba, Amar Rav Yechanan, Ein tzaddik nifter min ha'olam ad shenivra tzaddik kemosei. A tzaddik never leaves this world before another tzaddik of his caliber is created. As the pasuk says, the sun rises and the sun sets. So in other words, for example, if it just meant in the simple sense, first of all, we don't need Shlomo Malach HaKochem Mikol Adam to tell us that. Second of all, Marsha points out in Kedushin, where this Gemara also is, why did it have to say Hashemesh twice? It could have said Vezorach HaVar Hashemesh. And other Mephoshim point out, another point of it is, why does it say Vezorach HaShemesh first? The Jewish day begins with nightfall after all. So first you should have a Vo HaShemesh and then Vezorach HaShemesh. So therefore we darshan, it means the sun of a tzaddik doesn't set until the sun of a new tzaddik rises, and then the sun of the old tzaddik sets. For example, actually, Kavsa Shimshir Shal Eli, for example, before the sun of Eli set, Zorcha Shimshir Shal Shmuel HaRamasi, the sun of Shmuel HaRamasi, of the Navi Shmuel, started shining, where he became a Navi, and was well known and well accepted as a Navi and a leader of the Jewish people while Eli was still alive. Marsha, in fact, in Kedushin, points out, the Gemara mentions over there, in this connection, a pasuk, that says the Neralekim Terem Yichve, the light, but when it says, when it talks about, it tells the story of how Shmuel got his first Nehuah, the pasuk says the Neralekim Terem Yichve, the light of Hashem had not gone out yet, meaning in a simple sense, it means the menorah was still lit. Well, Shmuel Shochev, and Shmuel was lying over there, and then he starts hearing a voice calling Shmuel, and the first few times he thinks it's Eli, and then Eli explains to him that this is Hashem speaking to him. Anyway, the point is, Marashah says the remez in that pasuk is also the Neralekim Terem Yichve, before the lamp of Hashem, represented by Eli in that generation, would go out, Hashem already is making sure that Shmuel is ready to take over as the next leader. I think we've mentioned before in this connection, or maybe not in this year, but you have, for example, the famous story involving the Hasofer family from originally from Tasmania, where they knew nothing about Yiddishkeit, but he's reading a Tanakh over there in English translation, and finds that there's always been, in every generation, there's always been a leader of the Jewish people that Hashem arranges. So he realizes there has to be a leader even now, but I have no idea who he is, and he davens to Hashem in his own way that Hashem should let him know who that leader is, and then the Rebbe calls up Gutnick in Sydney, and tells him to go down to Hobart and find them. So that's an example of that. Literally, the Eibishter makes sure that in every generation there's always a Shemesh, in short. Hashem saw that tzaddikim are very few. Now, this is the Alter Rebbe brings this on the second page of Tanya in Perek Aleph. This is a proof for the idea that tzaddik doesn't mean what the Olam thinks, that it means a person who's half mitzvah, half averus. Otherwise, there's lots of tzaddikim like that. It means, therefore, so now you need the definition of a tzaddik, as the Alter Rebbe explains it, where, yeah, those kind are relatively few. Amar b'shosvon b'chodor v'dor, therefore Hashem planted them in every generation, because to Hashem belong the foundations of the world, and he founded the world on them, meaning in other words that in every generation there will be a foundation for the world. Marashah explains, in other words, the point is mitzuke eretz suggests also that there's very few of them. Like the word motzik is a word that's used in connection with like a seed where there's a shortage of food. So like, so to speak, there's a shortage of tzaddikim. So therefore, vayoshes aleihem tevel, Hashem puts them in every generation. The world can continue to exist even for the sake of one tzaddik. Now, we said before that for one tzaddik, the world could be created. Now we're saying that even that the world also continues to exist even in the schus of one tzaddik. Similar to the way you have, by the way, in Pirkei Avos, you have Ashloshet Varim Olam Oymed, Rav Shimon HaTzadik's statement, and then you have at the end of that parak of Shimon Gamliel, Ashloshet Varim Olam Kayam, where Mephoshim explained there's a difference. Olam Oymed means the world was first created because of these three things, Torah, Avodah, and Gnos Chasadim, and then you have Olam Miskayim is because, as Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Din Emes and Shalom. So the same way over here, we can talk about the world being created in the first place because of one tzaddik, was what Rav Elazar said before, and now we're talking about the world continues to exist for the sake of one tzaddik. And Ion Yaakov points out, in other words, even if there were many choitim, even if there were many sinners, still that one tzaddik is enough. Shenemar, the tzaddik yisod olam, as the pasuk says, the tzaddik is the foundation of the world. So one tzaddik alone is enough to be the foundation. Rav Chiya ba'Abba didayam, and that last statement was Rav Chiya ba'Abba saying in the name of Rav Yechon. Rav Chiya ba'Abba himself has a different way of learning this point that the world continues to stand for the schus of one tzaddik. Because the pasuk says, Raglei chasidav yishmer, literally it means Hashem watches the feet of his chasidim. But here, Rashi explains the word raglei can also mean because of. We have in this week's parasha, when Yaakov tells Lavan, Vayivarech Hashem oischa l'ragli, Hashem blessed you because of me. As soon as I came, then you started having bracha. As Rashi mentions, till now you only had daughters, now you have sons, till now you're poor, now you're rich, etc. So ragli can mean because of. So therefore, ragli, chasidov, can be understood to mean because of the tzaddik, yishmer, Hashem preserves the world. Marashah says we can learn it differently, that raglay means literally the feet. So it means that tzaddik is the foot of the world on which the whole world stands. But the Gemara asks chasidav tauti mashma. Doesn't the word chasid or tuva mashma? Doesn't the word chasidei imply at least two chasidim or many more? Where are we getting only one? Yes, but you have a kriyuk siv in the pasuk over there. It's written with just the vav, and therefore we can read it chasid doik is singular chasid rather than the plural. So that's another way of learning this point that Hashem that's another way of learning that that one tzaddik is enough for the whole world to stand on. Anaf Yosef talks about over here for one, a number of them of course, talk about at some length over here why Rabbi Chiya Abba needs a different drasha. What's wrong with Rabbi Yochanan's drasha? Anaf Yosef makes a point over here that the tzaddik is sod olam. Fine, it means tzaddik himself will continue to exist. The first half of that pasuk, in fact, says ka'aver sufa ve'ein rasha. When the storm comes by, then the rasha is gone. And the Medrash explains that refers to the mabul. So what happens? The storm of the marble comes and the Rishoyim are gone. But the Tzaddik Yisod Olam, but what does that mean? Noach wasn't able to save the whole world with his chus. He's only able to save himself and his immediate family. Therefore, the Priya Ba'aba doesn't like that Drosha from the Tzaddik Yisod Olam. Therefore, he needs instead, from Ragli Chassid of Yishmar, that it means that Hashem preserves other people for the chus of the Tzaddik, just like Yaakov is saying to Lavan, that Hashem made you rich and successful for my sake. Okay.
Once most of a person's years have passed and he has not done an avera, then he's not going to sin after that. We learn from the same pasuk, Hashem watches the feet of his chassidim. So Rashi explains that the word raglay means the end, because like the feet, the legs and the feet are the end of the body. So therefore it means at the end, once the person has started out in the right way, then Hashem preserves him that he won't do avedus. Now obviously it doesn't mean he lost his bechira chafshis. Tosfos Yishanim points out, what about Yochanan Kohen Gadol? He was Kohen Gadol for 80 years and became a tzuki. Fine, a person has bechira chafshis, of course, if he wants to do avedus, Hashem's not going to prevent him, as we're going to have in the next piece over there, Bali Tami post Chenoi. But nevertheless, it's much less likely that he's going to, unless he actually makes a conscious effort to do that. Maharsha points out also another way of looking at it is the word raglay, chassid of Yishmar, can also be, the word raglay can be meloshin regilus, that he's used to it. Once he's used to not doing averus, then Hashem will guard him that he doesn't do averus so easily. Dvei Reb Shila Amri, in the yeshiva of Reb Shila, they said, once there's come to a person the capability of doing an Aveira one time or two times, and he didn't do the Aveira, then he won't sin anymore. The same positive where the word raglay can also mean times. Like you have, Rashi points out, you have whereby when the donkey complains to Bilam, why are you hitting me? Zesh sholosh regalim means you've hit me three times. So we see that the word raglay can also mean times. So like this, raglay in plural means two. So it means once two times already he's withstood the Aveira, then he's much more, then he's much safer about it in the future. Maharsha points out the flip side of it is a point the Gemara mentions in a number of places in Shas. We're going to have it towards the end of this Masechta as well, that if a person has done an Aveira twice, then it becomes much easier for him to do it again and again. So here we're saying the flip side of that, if he avoids the Aveira a couple of times, then it makes it much easier for him to save himself from it in the first place.
Third time the stain penetrates
through. Yeah, the time you bring from the Zoya, yeah, the third time the stain penetrates through, yeah. So here we're saying the flip side of it. Ion Yaakov points out, you know, you have by Yosef, for example, the pasuk says, by Yehi Kedabro Yosef, Yoim Yoim. Now, in fact, he was tempting him a lot more than two times, but still, the way the pasuk phrases it implies that it was only twice, because once it was Yoim Yoim and he withstood her those few times, then the fact that she continued doing it for the rest of the year had no further effect on him, because he had held himself back the first two times. Okay. Amr of Shimon Lakish or Shimon Levi. My dichtiv. What does the pasuk mean when it says im la leitzim hu yodit? If for the leitzim are scoffers or mockers. These are people who don't take anything in kedusha seriously. They think that everything is one big joke. No matter, you can bring them proofs that something is important, apitoda, and they just consider, they just want to make a glaif veritol of it or something. That's a let. So the pasuk says im la leitzim if for late him, who yalits, he will make him a late.
And to the humble, Hashem will give grace. What does that mean? Bolitame, if a person wants to make himself tamei, if a person wants to be with the leitzim and become a leitz himself, fine. Hu yolitz, Hashem will not prevent him from doing that. Hashem will not prevent him from becoming a leitz himself. But bolitaher, so in other words, hu yolitz doesn't mean that Hashem makes him a leitz. It means Hashem allows him to become a leitz. But on the other hand, to the humble people, yitin chen, we're saying Hashem gives them grace, which means bolitayim, sayinose, when a person wants to become Torah, then Hashem helps him out for that. Yitin, Hashem gives him a koyach that he didn't have before. Marsha refers over here to an explanation that he gives in the Sefer Menachos. The Gemara mentions in this connection in Menachos about the shape of the letter He. We know that the letter He has a big opening at the bottom, and then it has a smaller opening near the top. And the Gemara explains what that represents is the world is like a letter He. It's closed in on three sides and open on the fourth, meaning that a person has the capability of taking himself out of the world of where he should be and going out and dropping out that bottom over there. But then Hashem gives him the opportunity to do tshuva and come back in through that little hole at the top. But Marsha points out, you see, it has to be in a completely different direction. That small hole is not on the same side of the He as the open side, because when a person is doing tshuva, he has to completely go in a completely different direction than he was before in order to do a proper tshuva. So that goes together with what we're saying over there. Hashem Messiah knows that. Hashem helps him out that he should be able to reach that higher level and get back in through the little hole there at the top of the hay, near the top of the hay. But on the other hand, to begin with, it's not even just poiskim. Hashem opens it up and allows gravity to do its work, and basically he'll fall out naturally if he wants to. It's in Basi Lagani. It originally comes from the Gemara in Menachas and Marshall's explanation there. In Basi Lagani also talks about the idea that Hey is a letter of Kedusha and Kuf is like a distorted version of it, which is a letter of Klippa, and you have to transform the Kuf into a Hey. Yeah. Okay. Tony Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Moshe La'odim Shoyim Moichu Neft Va'afar Sinai. So we can give a moshel of a person who was selling neft, which is kerosene or turpentine or some other smelly stuff like that, and a farsimon, which is balsam oil, which is very fragrant. Bol limkor limdoid neft, when he's coming to sell or to measure out the petroleum, oy maloy, the other guy says, medoid atzala atzmacha, you measure it for yourself, I don't want to get involved. Because the seller tells the buyer, you want to buy a certain amount of my kerosene, you measure it out for yourself, I don't want to get smelly with it. Bol limkor limded afarsimon, on the other hand, when he wants to measure out the sweet smelling afarsimon, oy maloy, then the seller says, hamten an she'emded mechana, wait until I measure it for you, or imach, let me do it with you, kadesh es basim gamani v'ata, that way both of us will be fragrant. So the same way, in other words, Hashem is saying to a person, you want to be a Rosh, you want to be a Letz. I don't want to be involved in that. You do it all on your own. On the other hand, if you want to be a tzaddik, you want to be an onuv and a tzaddik, I will help you out with that, so that, so to speak, we both benefit from it. So Messiah Lo Hashem helps him out there. We learn in another braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Aveda metamtemes libeshal adam. Doing an Aveda dulls and closes up a person's heart. Like you have a tumtum, for example. You have in halacha all over. You have a tumtum whose genitals are covered up with a membrane, and you can't tell whether it's male or female. So the word tamtem means to close up and to stop up. We have in last week's parasha, we have Rashi mentions over there where the plishtim stopped up all of Abraham's wells, and then Targum Onkelos translates it tamunun plishtoi, which means that they stopped and blocked them up. So an aveira blocks and stops up a person's heart. Rashi says in particular, it closes it up from any kind of chokhmah. A person is not going to be able to absorb chokhmah, especially chokhmah of Torah, after that. Shenema, veloisi tamu behem, as the pasuk says, don't become tamei with them. The context of the pasuk is talking about eating shirotim. Vinitmeisem bom, and you will become tamei with them. But the word vinitmeisem is written in the pasuk without the aleph. Therefore, al tichu v'nitmeisem el v'nitamtem. So don't read v'nitmeisem from the shodash tomei, but rather v'nitamtem from this shodash of tumtum, that you're going to be closed up and you're going to be blocked off and be insensitive to Kedusha as a result of that. Especially, Iyun Yaakov points out, especially we're talking about over here eating shrotzim, where they become part of a person's body, that's all the more so that they have that effect, and therefore that's why the pasuk mentions this effect after there.
And we know all over the place there's many, many sikhas in Maimorim and letters of the Rebbe that talk about the idea that in particular non-kosher food has, actually mentions it in Tanya as well, in Perakhes, that Perak Zayin and Ches, that those have a much stronger effect on a person's neshama more than any other avera. For that reason, by the way, there's places in the Gemara where it mentions that the Gemara asks in a number of places where it seems like a tzaddik did an avera, and the Gemara asks, how could that be? If Hashem even helps that the donkey of a tzaddik, that the Pinchas ben Yair, wouldn't eat food that wasn't maaser, then how could Hashem allow that the tzaddik will do an avera? And the Gemara each time gives an answer appropriate to the circumstances, but Tosfos points out in a number of places, the question of the Gemara is specifically when we're talking about eating a dover tameh because of this, because it has such an effect on the person's neshama and on his body, therefore the Gemara finds it incomprehensible that it could ever happen that Hashem would make a tzaddik, that Hashem would allow a tzaddik to eat such a thing even inadvertently. Anyway, turn it up, Bonan. We learn in a brisa more on that pasuk. Veloisi tamu behem and ikmesem bom. The pasuk says, don't become tomei by eating shrotzim, and you will become tomei with them, which we also said just means you will be blocked up because of them. That also means, now we're doushing with ikmesem, meloshin tomei. So therefore, other metame atzmei ma'at, if a person makes himself a little tummy, metamin oisehabe, then Hashem makes it possible for him to become very tummy. So in other words, loisi tamu behem, don't become tummy, even a little bit with them, because if you do, when it's meis and bum, then you're opening the possibility for yourself to become much more tummy. Milamata, a person makes himself tummy down here, metamin oisei milamailo, then Hashem makes it possible for him to become much more tummy up above. But ulamazeh, metamin oisei la ulamabah. So why these three things? Marsha points out because each of them is progressively worse than the previous one. First you have, he makes himself a little tomei, and Hashem makes it possible for him to become very tomei. Then what happens is, metamin osim elamayla means Hashem puts him in the side of tuma. Then after he does that, then metamin osim elamayla, that he winds up in Gehenim and having to do with ruchas at tuma and so forth. And then the flip side of it is we have the same three things in reverse. The pasuk also says you should be holy, you should make yourselves holy, and you should be holy, which means the same thing. The person makes himself a little holy. Hashem will help him to become much more holy. If he does it down here, then Hashem helps him to become more so up above. So the same three things that a person could go through in Tumah, progressively worse, the same thing in the flip side is he can become greater and greater in Kedusha, where it means, in other words, eventually, Marashah says, what does it mean? You have the expression in Bava Basra that Tzaddikim, after Tchias HaMesim, are never going to return to their dust because the Kodesh Kaim La'olam, the Holy One Hashem himself, exists forever, and therefore so will the Tzaddikim. The Gemara mentions over there, Asidim Tzaddikim, Sheyomru Lefneim Kodesh, that in the future the Malachim will say Kodesh before the Tzaddikim the way they do in front of Hashem. So therefore, this is Ba'olam Hazem, that the person is able to elevate himself to being on a level where in certain ways he can be similar to Hashem himself. Yom Yom Mashiach Ba'ola, Ches Kislev, rather, thank you. So it's the birthday and the Yom Halulah of the Mitzvah Rebbe. So we have already, that Rebbe was talking about, we have the connection of Ruchnius and Gashmius already complete. Everything's all ready for the Ba'ola. So now we have to do things to make that, to make that reveal the Poyol Mamash. We can do that by learning from the Mitzvah Rebbe. You have the Mitzvah Rebbe. So you have the famous thing, for example, that the Tzemach Tzedek said on him that if you cut him, then chsidus would bleed out rather than blood. So by every person you have to have, he has to make a special effort to express his ruchnius and his chsidishkeit in his gashmius, that in his gashmiistic things, in his time and place of gashmius, you should feel the warmth and the chayus that comes from his yiddishkeit and from his chsidishkeit, so that there's no division between them, so they become literally one thing, which was the hallmark of the Mitzvah Rebbe. Continuing on halachas of Shabbos candle lighting, if you put the Shabbos candles on the table, you should put the chalas before you light candles, because otherwise you have the issue that the table itself is muktzeh, it becomes a bosses for dabra also. Another din as far as candle lighting, if the wife is blind, Rahman al-Tlan, so ideally then the husband should make, should light candles, because the point is she's not going to be having hana from them. But if not, if she's living alone, then fine, she can make the bracha. If she's living with other people in the house, then she lights without a bracha.
However, if she's the Akeres HaBayis, then then she'll make the bracha first, and then everybody else will make the bracha afterwards and light. The Pashtus, he doesn't mean if she has daughters who are lighting, because again, we said yesterday, the daughters are Yotze with their mother, they have to make the bracha first. We're talking about just, in other words, you have a number of women living, a number of adult women living in the house, and she's the Akeres HaBayis, and they're all like boarders or whatever. And the last halacha in this connection, if a woman forgot one time to light candles, then the rest of her life she should light one extra candle beyond what she did before. And this is no matter how many times she forgot, each time, as a heter that she should be careful from now on. So if it was an oynes, then she doesn't have to add, because the whole point is to remember that she shouldn't be careless, and if it was an oynes, then that's not an issue. Does it go for a man as well? Not necessarily. I mean, the ikur of candle lighting is on women, so whether that concept applies to men, I don't know. I've never heard of it applying to men, but I don't know. The fear of is on the house, it's true, but nevertheless, I don't know if we say that we go to that extent, that we would say that a man, we're gonna penalize him like that and make him every time light another one. It's a good point. I don't know. I guess if I find anything about it, then I'll publicize it next time, I guess.